Morning, everybody. Yeah, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Ah, I knew you were out there. I just wanted to say this morning, it's very nice to be here. The feast to me just gets better and better. And I also like to say good morning to all of you out there in Cybercast land. I hope you're having a good feast. Today, a special hello to Doug and Helen Gibson, who are in Courtenay, B.C., watching the telecast, and also to our good friend, Mrs. Joan Seal, also who could not be here this year. Brethren, have you ever bought something from the store, and written on the box in plain sight was the words, "Some assembly required"? So you get everything, you lay it out, and you begin to assemble. But when you're halfway through, it doesn't look right. Or you find you've used the wrong screw in the wrong place, and you have to start all over again. And just about that time, your dear sweet wife taps you on the shoulder and says, "Dear, did you read the instructions?" I'm sure all the, you men out there are going to have sore ribs because, see, dear, I told you. Now, this is good advice, and it holds true more than ever for us in God's church today. Now, I want to read some quotes to you from very notable people and give you a flavor of how our leaders used to understand or base their understanding on Holy Writ. Abraham Lincoln says, "I believe the Bible is the best gift God has ever given to man. All the good from the Savior of this world is communicated to us through this book." Mr. Gladstone, who was a British prime minister, said, "I have known 95 of the world's great men in my time, and of these, 87 were followers of the Bible. The Bible is stamped with a speciality of origin, and an immeasurable distance separates it from all competitors." Also, George Washington, the first president of the United States, stated, "It is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible." Tremendously different from what it is today. Queen Victoria said, "That book accounts for the supremacy of England." How right she was. But even she did not understand. Daniel Webster, of course, who wrote the dictionary, said, "If there's anything in my thoughts or style to commend, the credit is due to my parents for instilling in me an early love of the scriptures. If we abide by the principles taught in the Bible, our country will go on prospering and to prosper. But if we and our posterity neglect its instructions and authority, no man can tell how suddenly a catastrophe may overwhelm us and bury all our glory in profound obscurity." How true! Whoever would have thought what we are the problems we are having today in our neighbors to the south and even us, and we in Canada here will not escape. Andrew Jackson says, "That book, sir, is the rock on which our republic rests." And just one more from John Quincy Adams, these, of course, of all presidents, past presidents of U.S., "So great is my veneration for the Bible that the earlier my children begin to read it, the more confident will be my hope that they will prove useful citizens of their country and respectable members of society. I have for many years made it a practice to read the Bible through once every year." Now, I remember many years ago, I gave this sermonette, and one person came up to me and he said, "Well, this is fine for you, Ken. You can sit down and read and get something out of it, but that's not me. I need to really get into it. I like to get my Bible, my concordances, and really study deeply into the Bible. But I found out later, brethren, that this person never used to open his Bible. From one day to the next, never really got into it, as they said, but only had an image of themselves doing this. The road to the grave is paved with good intentions. Now, brethren, we have all been in God's church for many years, most of us here, and we all know the basics, doctrines of the church. We proved them, we understand them. But let's go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And let's start on verse 16. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now I'd like to bring your attention to the word all scripture. All of it, everything that's in this book that we call the Word of God, that is scripture that we need to know. Now the word all just means that. It means all, every, the whole, thoroughly, everything. Now if I was a betting man, I would bet there are scriptures in the Bible you have never read if you do not read the Bible through often. Furthermore, I would bet there are scriptures which you have not read in 5, 10, 20, 30, 40 years, however long you've been in God's church. Another thing, if we don't read it through, we as human beings tend to ignore or avoid scriptures which tend to reprove us, because humanly we don't like it. Now, I have been told that reading the Bible through is not studying, and I tend to agree up to a point, but only if you read it as you would a novel. You have to read it slow and savor the words you read and think about what you're reading. Now, Mr. Luker said, we must have knowledge, and it must be here, not just here. But I would like to add to that. Brethren, you need to love the Word of God. You need to love it. It has to be a part and parcel of your life, because it is your life. Now, Mr. Erickson spoke about being holy like God. So how are we going to be holy if we're not reading the instructions to know? Mr. Barron spoke, he spoke about rejoicing. I've known Bob Barron for a long time. When he was up here the other day leading songs, it took me back to 1967 at the feast in Edmonton, Feast of Unleavened Bread. Mr. Barron was up there leading songs. And I got to know him very well. Okay, let's go, brethren, to 1 Timothy 4. There's just one verse I want to read there. First Timothy 4, Paul was writing to Timothy, and he says in verse 13, "Shall I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine." Now, that's what reading means. It simply means to read the book. Now, you will find as you're reading along in your Bible, you will come across scriptures you never understood before, or you see in an entirely new light. Make note of them. Keep pen and paper handy. You can go back and study them in more detail later on. It's just like when you take sermon notes. You can even go over them again, because it's a proven fact, brethren, the first 24 hours after a service, you forget 50% of what you heard. And after 48 hours, you have forgotten approximately 90%. Now, the wonderful thing about the Bible is you can read it again and again and again, and you will never glean all the precious truths from between these pages. Now, there are certain books and chapters that we should read much more often than others. Now, take the book of Psalms, for example. Now, personally, I've set up the book of Psalms that I read 50 Psalms every 3 months. That takes me through the book of Psalms 5 times a year. Once when I read the whole Bible through, and then once when I go through these Psalms. It keeps in front of you every day, the book of Psalms, the majesty, the glory, and the greatness of God, and it shows God's power, his mercy, his compassion, his forgiveness. It teaches us how to praise and glorify the great God of heaven, and it teaches us to rely totally and completely on God. Now, it shows us God's law in action. Now, take the 119th Psalm, for example. It's divided into 22 sections of 8 verses each. Now, you read and study these verses. Every day, take 8 verses and go through them, contemplate them, think about them. And God's law will become so real to you. It'll be a part and parcel of your life. It'll be a vital part of your being. Let's go to Psalm 119 for a minute. There's just one verse in there I wanted to read. Psalm 119. Psalm 119 and verse 18. Is this our prayer? It says, open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. Pray this prayer every time, and it will be amazed what God will show you. Now, the book of Proverbs is another book that should be read every month. Is it just coincidence that it's divided into 31 chapters and there are 31 days in most months? The book of Proverbs will teach you wisdom, understanding, and discretion. And by following its gems of wisdom and sound advice, you will find you have a ready answer for every problem you may ever face. The book of Proverbs teaches us, brethren, about life and how to live it. Shouldn't we read it diligently? The book of Ecclesiastes is another one. I guarantee if you read this book once a month, you will never get above yourself. You will always realize just how vain and futile this human life really is. And it will keep you humble. Brethren, I'm not saying this is the only thing you should do, but I am saying it will do you no harm and will do you a lot of good. Now, in one of his recent letters, Mr. Wagelkopf was urging us to get in the habit of reading the scriptures daily. Now, we are living right now in some very serious times. The times that Mr. Armstrong warned us about and said were coming, brethren, are here now with us. Well, let's take a physical example. Supposing you're studying to become a doctor, and someone else is studying with you in the same class. Now, you're very diligent. You attend every class. You pay close attention. You spend hours every evening studying your notes, memorizing, getting to know everything you possibly can. But you have a friend. He cuts classes, never takes notes, never studies in the evenings, parties, has a good time. When final exams come, who is going to pass? Compare this in your own mind to your life. Are you like the first man? Do you have your nose in the Bible? Do you attend every Sabbath? Do you go to learn in a humble and a grateful attitude? Or have we been in God's church for 10, 20, 40 years and know it all? Only God knows our thoughts and our most private, secret lives. Now this summer, brethren, a lady came up to me and said, "Thank you for the sermonette you gave on reading the Proverbs. Once a month at the feast, it has been such a help to me." I gave that sermonette back in 2001. Now there's more reading, brethren, that I would urge you to do. Go over the last four chapters of Job, when God starts telling Job exactly what he is and who he is. Read it often. Get that into your heart and mind, and you will understand more and more how insignificant we are, but what we can be. And Isaiah 40 to 46 chapters. It's just amazing. God tells us exactly who he is, what he is, and what he expects of us. In closing, brethren, I want to turn to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. Mr. Swaggerty in his sermon referred to a couple of verses in this psalm. But let's just begin in verse 7. It says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart." There's that word rejoicing again. "The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the eternal is clean, enduring forever. And the judgments of the eternal are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. And moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward." And there is, friend, there's a great reward for each and every one of us. Now, I've heard this many times. How could all our brothers and sisters in Christ leave this church when they knew the truth? Yes, they knew it. But to repeat what I said before, they did not love it. And brethren, we must love this word. As the psalmist said, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day." Read the book, brethren. You can only gain.